And the net result was we got just under 5 million. We increased from just over 4 million to just under 5 million ounces in indicated resource and just over a million in inferred for a total of a 6 million ounce resource. It's very comfortable. So with the money in treasury, with the warrants due in this year and next, and with another couple of million that come in from the last tranche of our Turkish asset sale, we are fully funded from a corporate level and at the project level to get through to a construction decision at the end of 2027.
Okay. And that will be financed, I'm assuming, and this is a really good assumption, financed by debt, correct? More than likely.
So you know, look, if you sort of 101 project financing says you do 60-40 debt equity, right? That's sort of, you start right at that position. And for sure, that's our starting position. And then you look at, well, can I do more equity, less equity, more debt? Can I stream? Can I do a royalty? Andy, I mean, a typical, if you're building, you know, an underground mine and you've got sulfides and you have to build a mill right and you have to build a tailings facility, the construction period for that type of operation is typically 18 to 24 months. That's how long it takes you to build. Conversely, we don't have a tailings facility. We don't have a mill. We don't have power supply because it's all there. We don't have road access. We're not building a camp. Our construction period is about 9 months.
John Gillian, Liberty Gold, good afternoon to you, my friend. How are you?
I'm very well, Andy. Thank you very much. Good afternoon to you too.
Yeah, well, so no rest for the weary here. You guys have, it's coming in hot and heavy from you guys from news. But before we get to that, let me just make an announcement to all my viewers and listeners. And there's about a million of you guys out there. I am an investor in Liberty Gold. I have skin in the game. My opinions are biased. Do your own due diligence, as well as Liberty Gold is coming up. I want to say 1st of March or middle of this month, I'll have to talk to my manager, but they're going to be a sponsor of ours on natural resource stocks. So you're going to get to know them really well. But John, let's start with, you had some great news that dropped about, I want to say about a week ago. You had an update mineral estimate. Tell me about that and why that's so important. I read it and it just really blew me away, but tell me about that.
Oh, well, thanks, Andy. Yeah, we released, as we said we would, the feasibility mineral resource estimate. So, you know, our last estimate was for pre-feasibility. That was October 24, where we were just over 4 million ounces in indicated and around about 700,000 in inferred. And from the drilling that we did during 24 and during 25, we obviously reworked the estimate. Metal prices, as you're very well aware, and your readers will be aware, have changed significantly. So we changed the price of the shell that you use to constrain the resource. We went from $2,000 to $2,800. So we had new drilling, a new shell.
That's great. Go ahead. Yes. Sorry. Go ahead.
And the net result was we got just under 5 million. We increased from just over 4 million to just under 5 million ounces in indicated resource and just over a million in inferred for a total of a 6 million ounce resource relative to just under a 5 million ounce resource previously. So pretty exciting, nice demonstration of progressive expansion over time and drilling of the resource, and a very strong sort of mineral resource to underpin the feasibility study, which we're in right now.
Okay, so that's music to my ears. It really is that you're going into a feasibility study right now. That really infers that you guys are going into production probably in the next, and we talked about this last time, next 12, I would say 18 months or so. So you're right coming on that sweet spot that I call it of the Lassonde curve. My friend Lobo Tigre has done a lot of studies on the Lassonde curve. Why is this so important that you're expanding the resource as far as value, driving value to the shareholders of Liberty Gold, John?
Well, so you know, valuations look at resource size, which is kind of a statement of how much metal's in the ground. And then, of course, there's the reserve, which is how much I can dig out and make a profit at. Clearly, the bigger your resource, the bigger your reserve in general, they're correlated. And so this is important because instead of having 4 million ounces in resource on which to draw to make your reserve, we've now got 5 million ounces. And of course, unlikely all of that will get into the reserve, but we would anticipate a significant portion. So we're going to, the intention here is to increase the size of the reserve. That means more metal in reserve, which could be one of either more metal at the same life or the same metal for a longer life. So either way, that's a good outcome.
Yeah, no, it is a good outcome. And let me just paraphrase it. You increased really the value by another 20%, correct? Would that be fair to say?
I think there's 20% more ounces available. So yeah, you could say that. That's one way of
Okay,
looking
John,
at
have you
it.
had, since you've come out with this news, have you had a 20% increase in your stock price?
We have not, gold's been a little testy over the last couple of weeks.
To all my
We
viewers and listeners, read between the lines. Go ahead.
Gold's been a little testy this week, as you know, and we have, as you well know, had a very good re-rate over the last sort of 8 months. I think we've sort of we're starting to convince the market that we're in that transition from an explorer discoverer to a developer and ultimately a producer of metal. That's a hard journey. You mentioned the Lassonde curve. That the sort of the down bit, the euphemistic valley of death, is a tough place to be. We see ourselves coming out that side, and we're in what we believe is substantive re-rate territory, and we think we've got a long way to go.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that too. And I watched it as an active investor for over 30 years. I watched the Lassonde curve very closely. And I have, to all my viewers and listeners, two of my favorite, well, I have three buckets, if you would. I have producers that I buy on value. I have explorers that are just starting when I'm really rolling the dice when I want to. I have that in a bucket. And then I have developers that are just coming out. And I just say, really, the sweet spot, Lassonde curve. My friend Loba did some great studies on this. It's really 12 to 18 months out. That's really where Liberty Gold is right now. That's where you get your most value or your rise in the stock price, to all my traders and investors that pay attention to this. But okay, John, let's take a couple of steps back here. So we had this great news. Explain to me just how turnkey of an operation Liberty Gold is and what you have there. And when I met you in person, I was just really surprised by all of that. But yeah, walk me through that real quick.
The site Black Pine in southern Idaho is a previously producing site. So it was mined in the 90s by a company called Pegasus. They produced just under 500,000 ounces of gold. Same method we're using, open pit run of mine heap leach. So no crushing, no conveying, no agglomeration, just dig it out of the ground, stick it on a heap, irrigate, and produce gold. So we are really a brownfields restart story rather than a sort of a greenfields new site. And that gives us, I think, an awful lot of a benefit when we're going through the permitting piece and we're looking at, site footprint and environmental disturbance.
A lot of data too available to you, but go ahead.
Yes, of course. I mean, we've been on the site since 2016. Over that period, we've done four, what's called an environmental assessment, which is a sort of a mini environmental impact statement. So we've done four of those over 8 years, three with the forest and one with the BLM. So we have a tremendous volume of baseline information. We really understand what's going on, both hydrologically and with fauna and flora. So that's a very good basis on which to say, now that we understand the geology and the rocks and where the gold is, we've got the environmental piece to facilitate permitting. We understand the technical piece. This is a very, very simple operation. Open pit mining is obviously very well understood. This is not deep. We're only going down about 350 meters. So all of the ore is on surface effectively. And so that's well understood and not complicated from a steep pits or deep pits point of view. There's no water in the pits. We're mining above the water table. So we don't have pit dewatering or pit depressurization, and we don't have to have water rights for long-term pit lake quality issues. So no water at all. And of course, it's in a very dry part of the world. This is essentially the old shoreline of the Great Salt Lake. So desiccation and drying up over the last 10,000 years. Low rainfall, very high evaporation rates, no surface waters. So we have no streams, no lakes, which means no fish. And obviously aquatic species are a significant problem when you're disturbing those in a potential future mine. We have none of that. And I think that really simplifies the environmental permitting process dramatically relative to others who have more complex situations. So, you know, from a sort of turnkey point of view, your phrase, Andy, I think, you know, we understand open pit mining. The processing that we're going to be doing is exactly the same as was done before, but we're applying, you know, modern science, shall we say, to that understanding. And the permitting, I think, is going to be, we have to go through the same permitting process as everyone else, but the issues are sort of the hard conversations. We don't really have to have those because we don't really have substantive environmental impact.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, you know, the turnkey nature of our opportunity here.
Yeah, and I'll elaborate a little bit more on turnkey. This is not, mining's not turnkey, and this has not been an overnight success project. This has been a labor of love for close to 10 years, correct me if I'm wrong, which is very typical.
About 70 million bucks, so
We've done the odds here. So it's not so, but that being said, it's when it comes to mining, it's very simple. You have a simple, I would say, plan or business model relative to just about everything else. Just being what we just discussed, there's not a whole lot. There's a whole lot that can go wrong in mining, but there's not a whole lot that can go wrong in this mining because it's a lot of the stuff has already been worked on and taken care of.
Let me perhaps give you a sense of that, Andy. I mean, a typical, if you're building, you know, an underground mine and you've got sulfides and you have to build a mill, right, and you have to build a tailings facility, the construction period for that type of operation is typically 18 to 24 months. That's how long it takes you to build.
Yep.
Conversely, we don't have a tailings facility. We don't have a mill. We don't have power supply because it's all there. We don't have road access. We're not building a camp. Our construction period is about 9 months.
Right.
So that's just straight away.
That's ridiculous.
It's straightforward, right? It's simple. It's largely modular. We don't have a lot of complexity in the actual technical infrastructure. And so that, you know, that's the bonus that these types of assets give you. Low capital, low footprint from an environmental perspective generally previously mined and previously disturbed. And low capital to build, so it's a very attractive opportunity, particularly so in a rising metal price environment.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree. I cannot agree more with you. But let's talk a little bit about the economics of it, and talk to me about, if you can, what you can comment on. Are you guys fully funded for 26, and how much money do you, roughly speaking, do you have in the bank?
Sure. So let me ask the second question first. So the last reporting period, we had $32 million US in treasury.
Fantastic.
That was at the end of October, end of September last year.
Canadian, correct? Canadian?
Sorry?
Canadian?
End of Q3. Yeah, end of Q3. So we'll be reporting our year-end financials, I think, early in March. So you'll see what that is. Not a lot of change because we had some warrants. We have a series of warrants that expire in April at 45 cents Canadian, and we've seen those warrants starting to come in. So to some extent, our costs have been offset by revenue from warrants, which is a nice place to be.
Yeah.
With those warrants coming in due, as I mentioned—
That's a great place to be. It's more in the treasury, but go ahead.
It's very comfortable. So with the money in treasury, with the warrants due in this year and next, and with another couple of million that come in from the last tranche of our Turkish asset sale, we are fully funded from a corporate level and at the project level to get through to a construction decision at the end of 2027.
Okay. And that will be financed, I'm assuming, and this is a really good assumption, financed by debt, correct? More than likely.
So you know, look, if you sort of 101 project financing says you do 60-40 debt equity, right? That's sort of, you start at that position. And for sure, that's our starting position. And then you look at, well, can I do more equity, less equity, more debt? Can I stream? Can I do a royalty? And we have a very smart corporate development guy who came on last year. He's financed a number of projects. And so we're starting to have some more substantive project finance discussions. And we're talking with the people, the royalty streamers, the royalty players, the banks, to have those initial discussions. And they're very familiar with the project. The debt folk are quite interested because this is a long life project. And therefore, right. From a debt perspective, it can carry more debt than you perhaps otherwise would put on, say, a 6-year life or an 8-year life mine. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think we have the opportunity if we could structure it correctly to go down that road of 60-40 debt or equity debt or 60-40, 70-30 equity. Or we could actually probably do this on 100% debt. I think that's an option for us at the moment.
That's music to my ears.
Which would be interesting. So, you know, look, we haven't made any decisions as yet. Right. I think those are conversations. And when we get to, we're in fees. The mine planning piece of feasibility finishes up around in April. And obviously that's internal, but that'll give us a sense of what the production schedule looks like. With that information, we start having confidential discussions with the finance houses about project finance. And our intention, I think, is to put in place or have those discussions land upon a structure. And then sometime after the feasibility study is issued in October this year, come out with the project finance package to demonstrate to investors they've seen the feasibility, they've now got a sense of what it looks like, and here's the package to build it.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, the two things I get out of that, all of that to all my viewers and listeners, John, correct me if I'm wrong, it's great to have options. Number one, that's the best thing that can come out of that. Number Definitely. Two, the interesting thing is just you're coming out of the sine curve. So, of course, you're starting to have those conversations, and this is when those conversations should be had. So quite exciting. Yeah. So, John, go ahead.
The other interesting thing that we're doing, Andy, and this is kind of what kind of excites me, we're starting to think about placing orders for long lead items. So even though our construction is scheduled for early 28, that's not that far away, right? 18 months right. away, basically. And there are items that you need to be thinking about for that kind of lead time for a build, in particular electrical equipment, transformers. I didn't think about that.
Sure.
Yeah, transformers, switchgear, and the e-rooms. And so we are now actually in conversations with some of the vendors in the US about what it would take to reserve a build slot in 27 for our gear that we're going to need in 28. So that's kind of exciting stuff.
Oh, that's really exciting. That's like makes it even that more real. So
exactly.
A couple of things here, John. People want more information about you. How do they find you? What exchanges are you traded on? What are your ticker symbols?
So we are, the website is libertygold.ca. And if you go on there, you'll find an email address to info@libertygold.ca, or you can contact Susie Bell at libertygold.ca, sbell@libertygold.ca. Very happy to take questions from investors or anyone who's interested in the company. We're listed on the main board of the TSX under the ticker LGD. And we're also listed on the OTCQX under LGDTF.
Got it. I'll put all of this in the show notes, both on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. And shout out to your staff, especially to Susie. She puts up with you and she puts up with me. So
Yeah, she does.
I've thrown her some curveballs, and she's a great problem solver. Just shout out about that. Also, you're going to be at PDAC. Love to see you. To all my viewers and listeners at PDAC, go seek out John and Susie. You'll be in the main hall.
Yeah, we have a booth on the Sunday and the Monday. So anyone who wants to come and engage, I'll be there. We'll have one of our technical guys there. And so delighted to talk all things Black Pine and Liberty and gold price and anything else anyone would like to sort of shoot the breeze about.
Well, I'll be actually there. I'm going to be there late. I'll be there on Tuesday, Wednesday, but I told Susie I'd send her a text and we'll grab a coffee or something. Another thing is, I told Susie, and she's going to hold me to this because that's how she is. but I'm going to come out and see you. You invited me out there, and
I did.
I say this, I'm always reluctant. John, I get so many of these invitations, but I want to come out and see you guys. So Susie and I will put it together. We'll come out in April. She'll get your schedule all coordinated and my schedule all coordinated. But
Make it late April, and then you can see the drill rigs turning, because the early April. So late April works a treat.
Deal. But you're coming, I think, to my conference in May, so maybe right before then. So
perfect.
We'll get it all done. Well, really looking forward to seeing you and Susie at PDAC. I want to thank you so much for your time.
Fantastic, Andy. Pleasure to catch up, mate. All the best. Safe travels, and we'll see you soon.
All right. Take care.
And thank you to your readers for listening to Liberty Gold for a little while.
Absolutely.
Much appreciated.
Absolutely.